future has arrived. Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
We're created to build community, created to build the kingdom of God.
There is a power when we step into our role as sons and daughters.
The kingdom of God has not moved forward by good conduct. It's moved forward by good belief.
If you want people to be creative, you got to give them permission to really explore.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast. We are coming to you from the City of Hope, Joplin, Missouri, home of Next Gen Worship, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh. And I just want to say one thing.
What's that?
Thank you.
For?
I'm just in the spirit of Thanksgiving.
Oh, did you put up a Thanksgiving tree?
Nope.
A Thanksgiving tree? What's that?
We did it last year. It's a paper. You make a tree out of a brown paper bag, and you cut out paper fall leaves, and then everybody writes something they're thankful for every day.
I don't think we even talked about that.
And we put it on the wall. You apparently did not participate, but
let me just tell you that
your wife and your sons were very thankful.
Yeah.
Wow.
We haven't done it this year, but I'm still thankful in my heart.
That's good.
Well, it's that time of year, Thanksgiving. Lots of, you know, traditions and things happening and families. We actually have something we started like 2 years ago called Friendsgiving.
Friendsgiving.
Where we started realizing that we got friends in our lives that don't have family in the area, and they're just going to sit home and eat marshmallows for Thanksgiving. So we decided to include them in our family, and we called it Friendsgiving. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, because, I mean, family gets Christmas, okay? So you can share Thanksgiving with everybody. It doesn't have to be exclusive.
Yeah.
I would prefer Friendsgiving any day.
Yeah, it's really fun. What do you guys do for Thanksgiving, Josh?
Eat.
Yeah.
We eat and sleep.
Eat and sleep.
Eat and sleep.
So do you
our acid reducer, then eat and sleep some more.
Do you do the cranberry sauce that comes out of the can in one solid piece,
Not the giblet. No, the can for sure.
The That's cheaper, the better.
Yeah. I don't even like either one of them, so it doesn't matter to me, but it's always the can in the circles I run with.
I like it the next day because you can take that day-old turkey and slice up a couple, three or four circles of that cranberry sauce jelly stuff and just put it right on a sandwich, right between two pieces of bread. And Ross on Friends, he puts that one extra piece of bread in the middle. It's the moist maker.
If you have not seen that episode, everybody has to watch it. It's a piece of bread soaked in gravy.
Soaked in gravy. It's the moist maker.
On a sandwich. That's a great episode of Friends. That's the best one. We'll just go watch it today.
There's not very many good episodes of Friends. So
what?
When you find one.
Get out of my face.
Oh, brother. Well, we're really excited about what we're talking about today. We are getting ready for the wave. And if you want to find out what that's all about, you got to stick around. Later on in the show, we're going to be talking with our good friend Mark Hendrickson. He'll be telling us a little bit about that, getting ready for the wave, and go down a rabbit hole a little bit with us.
Yeah.
So it's always interesting when Mark Hendrickson takes us down the rabbit hole. So you want to stick around with that. Talking about getting ready for the wave when we come back.
It's a gravy wave.
Get out there and walk. Better yet, better run. Time to blaze a trail that even hell could never travel on. No sitting on your hands. Understand, it's going to take some discipline. To pour yourself into the acts of love for your fellow man. No fits, no starts, but steady from the heart. Quick to notice differences and even quicker to mend fences. We're called to perfection, walking in the same direction. For your own protection, avoid insurrection. One master, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, over all, through all, in all. Together, we realize this life filled with abundance. Everything you are and think and do is charged with oneness. But that doesn't mean you think and speak and act identically. Christ has made us each unique out of his generosity. We're all moving rhythmically, many members of one body, woven creatively into a God-breathed tapestry.
You're listening to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we're redefining creativity with Stephen Roach, a program you definitely don't want to miss. Today, we are discussing a little later in the show with Mark Hendrickson, Ready for the Wave. ready for the wave.
Yeah. You did that in your best radio voice, by the way.
What? Ready for the wave.
There you go.
Clinton, tell me exactly, what does ready for the wave mean?
Well, thank you, Josh.
Okay.
No, we sat down with Mark Hendrickson at Culture Changers Conference 2016 back in October, and we just feel this in our hearts and through just different, you know, prophetic encounters we've had this year with Holy Spirit. We really feel like a dawning of a new day is coming, a new era of the kingdom, a new age of the kingdom. And even I'm sitting here thinking about it. Ray Hughes even talked about that. He said there's a wave that's already crested in the worship world. And he said those of you that didn't get in on that wave but have remained authentic, you're going to get in on wave number two. And it's even going to be better than wave one. So that's a lot of spiritual language there. But basically, we feel like Holy Spirit is doing a new thing in the earth.
Yeah.
And so I would just like to open up this conversation and even just talk about, you know, what does heaven's expression look like in the earth going forward? We've had decades now where truths have been restored to the church. We've seen the best theology that's in my lifetime, at least, you know, being taught by leaders now. We've seen healing come back as an accepted thing. We've even seen speaking in tongues come back as an accepted thing. We've seen people embrace community. Church is starting to get healthy. But what's next? What is he doing? You know, he's got a goal. Heaven's got an agenda. So let's talk about that.
If you look back in history, a lot of what has been happening has been contained inside the church. It has been the church progressing in what it believes, what it the different factions of the church believe or accept as right and good. But I think that now we're going to start seeing more and more of a transition from beyond church into just the world around us, the communities around us, the families around us, and less of it being inside of a church building.
Mm-hmm.
You ever feel like the Holy Spirit's setting you up for something? Because that's kind of how I feel.
Yeah?
I mean, you kind of look at politically and socially, economically, how the world is being put into place. Like, there's a lot of clean slates right now in systems that have worked for a really long time that now a new thing has an opportunity to come in and really kind of shift the way that things have been going. We know people in the music industry that are talking about some really radical changes.
Yeah.
That can
exciting changes.
Yeah. Very good changes that can really be influential in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're talking about is in shifting culture and being influential and having answers to problems and things like that. Everything that we've been talking about actually happening.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, we're starting to see little nudges here and there, and we're seeing people come up with creative ideas on how to abandon really the status quo, the way things have gone, because they have kind of worked, and going after something really risky that is revolutionary and flips the script on a lot of what we're used to as a culture.
Yeah. And it feels uncomfortable. Like, I don't know if you guys feel that way, but I feel uncomfortable in my spirit, but not like a fear, but just like almost like you can feel shifting happening on a global level. Like you said, politically, you know, just all over in the world around us, there is a shifting happening. It can be uncomfortable because you don't know what it's going to look like. You don't know what's next.
Yeah.
Except that we know that God is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're starting to hear emerging voices like our friend Tim Timmons. He's got a blog called 10,000 Minutes, and he is really, he's not discounting the 120 minutes we spend in church on Sunday, but basically he's highlighting, what are we doing the other 6 days of the week? And he's trying to put into language, and I think he's doing a pretty good job of, what does it look like for you to engage your world with the kingdom those other 6 days of the week? And we have heard Holy Spirit say that to us, and we feel a fresh emphasis on empowering people to do what they were created to do, even if it doesn't fit on Sunday. And I think that's some of the discomforts. Like, I want to engage my world, but I'm not cut out for a platform on Sunday. That's not me. But what is me is this other thing. And that's one of our messages, is we're giving permission to those people. And this kind of this mental picture comes to mind with some species of birds. When it's time for the young to leave the nest, they start putting, you know, brambles and briars and thorns in the nest, and it starts feeling uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm out of here. I'm got to get out and spread my wings a little bit. And not that God is not dismissing church or the idea of gathering together, but he is reemphasizing the power of a disciple in everyday life to affect and bring heaven to earth through the kingdom of God.
Well, and the reality is that God's never going to dismiss community.
Right.
He in the beginning, God created a family. So I don't think that we should ever feel the need to just jump out there on our own outside of the community and the family of people that we are around. But I don't think we should be afraid or upset when we start seeing people really maybe jump outside of what is traditionally known as the church. People who are called. Like, you know, you hear the old-timey pastors talk about, like, when I got the call. the Lord called me. I remember the moment. Yeah. And I think that there are generations of people that are called to ministry, and it has nothing to do with a Sunday morning service.
Mm-hmm.
It has everything to do with just life.
Yeah.
If we can explore biblically for just a moment, the scripture where Jesus says, look into the fields, they're white, ready to harvest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send workers into the fields, for many are called, few are chosen. That's always kind of been an enigma to me. Kind of like, what is he talking about? Many are called, few are chosen. Does that mean they're special people and they're like those that heed the call? Are they the chosen ones? And I'm beginning to kind of get a picture that we in this hour of time are chosen for a specific thing.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And,
oh, wow.
And I think that there are certain movements of Holy Spirit in the earth where he has really given us a lot of grace, given us a lot of help. And right now I feel that help. I feel that hand behind us saying, this way, kids, this way. And so when we talk about church evolving and changing and becoming something a little bit different than what we've been used to for a long time, it's not really changing church. It's being it more authentically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how Jesus did ministry, you know, what ministry has been, big campuses, Bible colleges, television, radio programs, mm-hmm. you know, that's kind of what we grew up believing ministry
right,
was.
Right.
Yeah.
But we look at Jesus's ministry. We look at the early apostles' ministries. They were mobile. They went from place to place preaching the gospel. That's what preaching is. It's this open air speaking of truth to whoever you encounter as you move forward. And so I think we're seeing a redefining of church, a redefining of preaching, prophecy, evangelism. All the giftings of the Holy Spirit are beginning to be carried out and manifest even more authentically than they ever have been.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this moment in time is a moment that we can really like say, oh, cool. I'm chosen for what Holy Spirit is doing in the earth.
Yeah. And I love that word you used, authentic. And I think that's a real key to even like Jesus said, he charged them, go and make disciples, even make disciples of nations. And for us to be disciples or discipling others or to even be discipled, there has to be an authenticity involved. There has to be a vulnerability involved. There has to be a level of my heart opening to someone else. And that's the power we talk about when we say community, that your destiny is found community. And in community, people are discipled in an authentic, real way outside of a stage, outside of a preaching type of atmosphere, but it's like a one-on-one discipleship. You get that picture of the prophet laying on the boy who was dead, and he was hand-to-hand and mouth-to-mouth, and he breathed that life inside. And I really feel like Jesus is doing that in this generation. He's using those ones of us that are feeling uncomfortable with just church as usual, let's use that word maybe, and breathing life through us into others who are hearing what he's saying to them for the sake of the world. And it's that we would become disciples that disciple nations and in an authentic way. And that's where worship comes into play in all this. But It's an exciting time. Times of shift and momentum are always exciting, and it's doubly exciting just to think about what could happen to the world when we start bringing heaven to earth in everyday life.
And we're seeing that the discipleship is beginning to look more and more like family.
Yeah.
More and more like fathers making more fathers.
Yeah.
And mothers making more mothers. And really, like, family is more than just our kids and our wives and husbands. It's community.
Yeah.
It's our friends. It's a growing, big, happy family.
So yeah.
One of our fathers, who's kind of been along for the entire ride and really cheered us on and given us A-pluses along the way, Mark Hendrickson, we got to sit down with him at conference, and he shared with us his take on being ready for this new wave, this new era that we feel so sure that we are moving into. Mm-hmm. So when we come back, we'll talk with him and take a little trip down a rabbit hole.
Each generation has its own divine mandate from God, its own set of responsibilities to release truths and realities in the kingdom into the earth. And we in Next Gen Worship feel the responsibility to begin to steward and call out as a voice to an entire generation. We want to invite you to partner with us financially, prayer, and community. We encourage one-time donations as well as a partnership that creates a connection. Help us empower generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Your giving will help us travel to cities carrying the heart and message of the worship movement in our region. Continue to produce the Next Gen Worship broadcast. Establish our record label, the Next Gen Worship Collective. Create consumable media geared towards raising up and inspiring the sons and daughters of God that creation is longing for. Hold conferences that are focused on bringing people into a life-changing encounter with God, and much more. To partner with us, go to nextgenworship.com/partner.
The Next Gen. You're listening to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we're going to be talking with Stephen Roach about redefining creativity. If you don't know who Stephen is, he's kind of the right-hand man of Ray Hughes in this moment in time, and a very talented young man with a lot of insight, especially on that marriage between creativity and worship. Today we've been discussing getting ready for the wave. A big wave is coming, and that means a new era that we're moving into, a kingdom era. And we sat down with Mark Hendrickson, one of our fathers, during conference last month, and discussed with him about getting ready for this wave.
Sitting down with Mark Hendrickson again, because we just had a afternoon session, and you know, afternoon sessions, you're not sure how they're going to turn out. We leave it kind of open on purpose, but man, we had a great group, and we dove into some cool topics and great questions, a lot of conversation style back and forth. I wonder if you would help us just kind of give a little recap of maybe the past two afternoons, if you want, talking about sons of God, stepping into sonship, and we maybe coined a phrase, a new era of the kingdom, but really that's just a result of repositioning ourselves as what, you know, stepping into sonship really means.
We throw around the words kingdom. We even throw around a new era. Actually, a biblical word, and it's not a demonic word, it's not a devil word, it's not an astrology astrologer word. Is the word age. It is a biblical word. Ephesians 2 says that the riches of God may be made manifest in the age or ages to come. So it's a biblical word. They had it long before the New Agers had it. And so we're just going to stick with Bible language, okay? Bible lingo. And so I believe there are ages throughout history. That is biblical. And so the only question would be, are we in one of the transitions from one age to the other? And so let's just give a little question and an example of why that would be important for us to determine whether or not we're passing from one age to the other. Let's take surfing, for example. I'm not a surfer. I've tried a few times.
If I, was going to be a surfer, keyword if.
But I know this enough. I've been out enough to say this, that if I want to surf and there's no wave, that is going to be a tough project.
Right.
I don't think you could paddle hard enough to get yourself up on the board.
Wow.
That's obvious. But, if you could time yourself with the oncoming wave and get up to speed, get in sync with the motion, the direction of the wave, oh my gosh, now you got the momentum and the empowerment of the wave to take you the direction you want to go.
So good.
Now, you see, that's why to me it's important that I can, if I can ascertain that we're truly on the cusp or in the new dawn, new arising of a new day, then I can expect this new wave to come up under us. What's the new wave? That would be, if it is indeed a timing of God, then he has an empowerment for us to walk in the realities of that timing that are unique.
Yeah.
So I think that we are coming into a new day. And so I don't know if we want to go down this road quite, down this rabbit hole quite this deep. But biblically, according to Bible, we have 6,000, we have been in mankind's history in scripture, have been in 6,000 years of existence on the earth since Adam. That's according to scripture. That means we're passing into the 7,000 year period, seven. So seven, I wonder what seven stands for. Does anybody know what seven stands for? Because every number, even in scripture, has a meaning,
right,
an understanding that accompanies it. Seven, we would all know it stands for perfection and completion and entering into rest or Sabbath, you know. And so I believe that God is saying, I want to come and rest now fully in my people.
Wow.
I want to, as God did originally back in the garden, when he made man on the sixth day, six stands for man.
Right.
Then when he was done, he said, whoa, that's good. Yeah. On the seventh day, what did he did? What did he do? Right. He ceased from his labors.
Right. Yeah.
I think God wants to cease from his labors and enter into rest in man. This is Zephaniah 3:17. He says, and I will rest in my love. And who's his love?
Wow.
You and me.
Yeah.
And so I think that we're going to find the headship, the head of God, the God being the head and us being the body, coming together in a most wonderful unity that was legally paid for, legally done at the cross, all done.
Yeah.
It's always been available. But I believe that as we've been waiting for kind of a wholesale outpouring, a wholesale opening of the gate that says, okay, here's a grace for one and all to come into this understanding.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a little bit of what
I said. Well, you mentioned the word wave, and even Ray Hughes said a new wave is coming, a wave is coming. And, you know, we've seen waves of revival in history. We've seen, you know, entire nations affected and infected by the kingdom, by the presence of God. And so looking forward to the possibilities of what's coming.
Yeah. I think one of the, another hallmark that would describe and be a part of this kingdom experience is the saints ruling in the earth.
Yeah.
The saints' rulership in the earth. Okay, you're not sure if that's true because now people are saying, well, you're into dominion theology and that sort of thing. Well, yeah, I guess we are. Take a look at Daniel 7, verse 27. It says, and all the dominion of all the kingdoms under all the heavens will be given into the hands of the saints.
Wow, wow, wow.
And the next verse goes on to say, and that's the end of the matter. In other words, I don't want to hear any more about it.
That's amazing.
In other words, I don't want to hear any arguments about it. No, I've, but anyway, God in his heart has planned for you and I, Clint, to be those who rule over the kingdoms of this earth.
Yeah.
And I believe with coming into more kingdom awareness, maybe a kingdom age, I don't know if that's going to be the official title of this age, but certainly more kingdom awareness, I believe we're going to find ourselves more empowered to rule over all the affairs of the world around us.
Love that. Well, we've used a lot of new language this weekend for maybe a lot of people and talking about heaven on earth. And one of the hallmarks, speaking of the title of the conference, of this generation rising up as sons and daughters in authority and influence in the world is that they're going to shift culture, or they're going to start to transform culture just because we carry the atmosphere of another world, we'd like to say. And that, you know, wherever we go, we bring the power of that world to bear. And we see people's eyes light up when we start talking like that, because they get hope that wherever I go in my work, where it's oppressive, or where I feel out of control, there's no dominion happening, you know, they start to dream again.
I so appreciate, Clint, you and Next Gen, and what we're reaching for here with Next Gen, to change our culture. We've come upon an epic, a sovereign timing in history where God, I believe, is pouring out a grace. Now, the fact of the matter is, He's put a seed of understanding in many, many people's hearts. And when birds of a feather begin to hear the language that resonates with the seed that's coming awake inside of us, we want to flock together. And so I really do appreciate, I believe God hand selects by invitation and sometimes by constraining us into the harness of searching out the matter and beginning to be more conversant, beginning to be more able to impart, to articulate what God is doing in the earth, like the sons of Issachar. The Bible says sons of Issachar are those who knew the times and the season and were able to tell Israel what to do. And so I believe He's saying, would you like to be a forerunner? And would you, is something resonating in your heart? Is the seed of this kingdom understanding, is it been planted by the Lord Himself in your heart, and you're hearing others talk about it? Well, find yourself a community. Find yourself some friendships that you can begin to fan the flames and become more secure in your understanding of what God's saying. Pretty soon you can articulate it. Pretty soon you become the forerunners. And I'm telling you, it would be like the disciples who were born in one era. Listen to this. This is huge. You're born in one era, BC, and you cross over the threshold into AD. And not only did you get to cross over with Jesus Himself, the instigator of this change, but now you're the preachers of the truths that are the foundation stones of the Church of Jesus Christ. In this case, now the Kingdom of Jesus Christ. I believe this crossing over could potentially be as epic, as huge, as from BC to AD. I don't know what we'll call it in the future when we look back to this timing, but I believe it could be that climactic.
We'll call it epic.
Okay.
Well, we really appreciate you and your heart and your voice and just the pop of heart, as you put it, to come in and champion people. And we certainly feel that strength, and we love that.
Yeah, it's good. I'm proud of you. Proud of you, Clint. Proud of you and Haley, Josh and others on your team. It's amazing. And your articulation, God has graced you, just like I said, with the ability to articulate complex understandings into simple phrases that are like dynamite. And they just lodge like RPGs, you know, and it's like, and they just explode in people's hearts. And so may the Lord empower you even more.
Oh, thank you. And we love to empower people for sure. We're empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Talk to you again soon.
Always a pleasure to have Mark Hendrickson on the program with us. We look forward to talking to him in the future. Next week, we're going to be talking with Stephen Roach about redefining creativity. You don't want to miss it as we discuss what's on the Father's heart for our generation and the generations to come. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.